Thanks for downloading the Everyday Relationships podcast. We'd love to connect with you and have you share the podcast through myfaithradio.com. Welcome to Everyday Relationships from Focus on the Family with Dr. Greg Smalley and Susie Larson.
Welcome to today's show. We're thrilled that you have joined us. You know, we're here every day to help you to live out the greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love others as you love yourself. And today, Susie, we're in a special place. Mm-hmm. We're in Nashville, Tennessee. We're at the Grand Ole Opera House Hotel. This is an amazing place.
It really is.
Coming live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, today we want to talk about about praying God's word into your husband. You know, when you pray for your husband, you help bring about powerful changes in his life, his relationship to God, and his marriage to you. However, our guest today, Kathy Lipp, author of Praying God's Word for Your Husband, says that women often offer up polite prayers to God without any real hope of seeing change in their marriage, their husbands, or really themselves. So today, Kathy Lipp is going to help us to direct women to Scripture to show wives really how to pray God's Word boldly and in full confidence of seeing God-sized results. This is going to be an exciting show.
Absolutely.
As a husband,
yep.
I'm expecting to hear these wonderful things
mm-hmm.
today.
We're going to have some fun, but we're also going to give some great takeaway for this whole and very important topic.
Yeah, because what I love about Kathy's book is she just makes this really, really practical on how to take scriptures and really speak those into your husband. You know, as I was thinking about this topic, the story that really came to my mind of when my wife Erin really did this is I was scheduled to go to Denmark. Way across the ocean, Denmark.
That one.
Yeah, well, you know, because I know there might be like in Arkansas or
okay.
somewhere else. I don't know. I'll get emails
I was
on that.
There's
no Denmark, Arkansas. There is, though, a Totsuck. Did you know that? Arkansas?
No.
See?
So Denmark.
Every day you learn something new just by being around me. Wow.
Okay.
You were so blessed.
So you're saying you went to Denmark.
I did. I went to Denmark. I was they wanted me to come in early to sort of adjust to the time difference. And so they were going to put me at this really cool old farmhouse out in the middle of nowhere. They said, we're going to drop you off Friday. We filled it with food and you can just kind of rest and relax and we'll pick you up on Monday.
Perfect.
But there was no phone. There was no way to contact anybody. And so I was thinking, what an amazing time. I can bring some work. I'm going to watch some DVD videos that I've been wanting to see. And so I just in my mind had this grand way that I'll use this time here at the farmhouse. Well, if you ever do, Susie, go across the ocean to Denmark, bring an adapter because your regular power cord, they don't work there. So I get all excited. I take all my stuff out. I'm ready to start just watching some movies, and I can't. My computer's dead. You know, I use it on the plane coming over, and I have nothing to do.
Hmm.
I mean, nothing to do. I'm in the middle of this snowy field farmhouse.
For 3 days.
And so I just wasn't sure what to do. I was unpacking, and I saw this black book in my suitcase. I remember, I didn't know what it was. And I opened it up. It was a journal that my wife Erin had put into my suitcase, snuck it in there. I've never done a journal in my life. I'm like, what is this? Well, she had written all kinds of stuff in it. Before I left, we had this great conversation. We had some drive time. So like a good friend of ours always talks about this windshield time. So we were talking and there's an experience that I had when I was in my, you know, younger 20s that really, really had a very huge negative impact on my life. And I've dealt with this issue along the way, but I think my wife sensed that there was still some healing left to do. I don't know how you women just know these things.
We know these things.
Yeah. I don't know why, but she she knew this. But so she put this little journal in there. So I had my Bible in this journal, and that was it. And I've never been one of those people to go on the spiritual retreat of just silence. I mean, that's kind of scary. I don't know why that is. I just, maybe that's a part of, I just like to keep busy, and maybe that's part of the issue. Mm-hmm. And so I just took that journal and began to read through. The first thing that she put is that she says, Greg, my first prayer for you is that you will have rest. She goes, you need this. Mm-hmm. But not rest so you can watch TV or watch DVDs. I hope you don't do that. So I think she took my...
She took
I think
adapter.
She took the adapter. I've never thought about
Brilliant
that.
Brilliant woman.
Ah.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
I don't know. I'm thinking you probably didn't think about the adapter. Is that more accurate?
No, I did not. But she said, she goes, Greg, I pray Matthew 11:28-30 over you. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. She wrote Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. And so that was the first thing that she began to speak into me, praying those verses. Mm. I mean, she's done it before, but there was just a way to see her handwriting in that journal praying those things for me. And it just relaxed me. It allowed me just to sit there. And I just began to read. She put a lot of questions in there and encouraged more verses. Psalms 34:18-19, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Mm. In the way in which I was just able to sort of relax into this, she put Romans 8:31-37. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And just her words, and I began to pray, God, is that true? How is that true in my life? Because this experience that I went through, I felt so much shame, so much guilt, and how could I possibly be more of a conqueror through that? And, I know we might not talk about this, but she put some lyrics from just some great praise and worship songs, and really was praying these words. There's a great song by 10th Avenue North called You Are More. And the chorus says that you are more than the choices you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems that you create. You have been remade. And that's really coming off the 2 Corinthians 5:17 verse that says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Okay, the old is gone and the new is here. And it just prepared a space for me to really connect to the Lord. And I tell you honestly, there in Denmark, the foreign country, okay, not Arkansas, all right.
You met with God.
I did. Mm-hmm. I did. And the healing took place in a way that I don't know if I've ever experienced. I can't point to like a single time. I mean, those 2 days became one of the most powerful healing experiences of my life. And it started because she took initiative to find some very specific verses to pray into me. And she was praying for me the whole time. It literally changed my life. That's why I'm excited about today's show with Kathy Lipp, where she's going to talk about her book, Praying God's Word for Your Husband. Mm. It's powerful. I mean, it changed my life. So I love this.
I feel like we've just had church. I mean, I really, when you read God's Word.
Should I sing now?
No, like no. I mean,
should I
no.
take up a collection? Would you like to give some money?
Okay, stop. When you read God's Word and you just hear God's Word, I mean, there's power in it. It's not our opinion. It's God's Word. Yeah. And so for one, there's so many things we could say to this, but a godly wife is more precious than gold. That you would have a wife that would do that for you is absolutely amazing. I mean, for her to take the initiative to put that in your bag, and God created time and space for that to go in. It's so powerful. Yeah. I love that. That's why I love today's topic.
Have you done this with Kevin, your husband?
I'm going to next weekend or tomorrow or Tuesday.
I'm going to send him to Denmark. Kevin, pack your bags.
I have put little notes in his bag, but boy, that's powerful, powerful stuff. Well, you know, one of the ways that prayer has impacted me, and we've shared this on the show before, but workaholism has been something that's been a struggle and in our marriage. And
I really struggle with that.
What's
Aaron
that?
Has to make me work.
Really? You don't relate then?
Oh, I do. I hear you.
Yeah. So it's been an issue. We've been really honest about it, but it's really marked our marriage in some ways. And Kev worked for a company that was such a boiler pot. It was so intense that it was affecting his health. He ended up getting cancer when he worked there. And I do attribute the stress to part of his breakdown of his health.
Wow.
But I went after it with the Lord. I mean, I was grabbing on the horns of that altar going, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. I mean, I was an active prayer person before.
You are. I mean, as I've gotten to know you here over the last several months, I can say that you are a woman of prayer.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I really am. And I'm telling you what, I found God's Word promises based on this thing, and I went after it. I'm like, Lord, I believe with all my heart this is not your best plan for him. Long story short, you know, I mean, he builds big buildings, and so there are only a few companies
and
that can...
And jumps over them in
a single bound. Yes,
we heard
this
song
before,
right?
We
know, your perfect husband. I've
yes,
heard it many times.
So someday you'll measure up, Greg. No, I'm kidding. But truly, though, the kind of companies that do the kind of work he does, there are not very many of them. And so there was only one that he said that I really liked to work for because just it matched who he was. But he said nobody ever quits because the way they treat their employees and they bonus back their employees. Mm. And I'm like, watch my dust. And I prayed, and I'm telling you, one day the owner called and said, would you come work for us? And he's been there ever since, and it's changed our lives. That answer to prayer has changed. He can travel with me when I speak. It's changed our lives. So prayer works. And this isn't naming and claiming, and we're going to be talking about that, right?
Today we've got a special show to where we're going to learn how to pray God's word into our spouse, but especially our husband. And when I say
that's
our
right.
husband, it feels awkward
because
I don't really have that.
But we'll let you hang
around.
We're
in for a treat, so stay tuned.
Yeah, we're so blessed to have author Kathy Lipp with us today. We're talking about her book, Praying God's Word for Your Husband. And, you know, this show today is not just for wives. Husbands, your prayers are powerful as well. So we're going to talk about how prayer changes our lives and our circumstances. We're going to talk with Kathy Lipp in just a moment. Welcome to Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We're blessed to be coming to you live from Nashville, Tennessee, the Grand Ole Opry Hotel, the NRB, National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And we're in the Focus meeting suite, and we've got Kathy Lipp with us today. And Greg, we're going to bring her on because she's written a great book, Praying God's Word for Your Husband. I was so moved by your Denmark story about what Aaron did for you. And really, I was moved by my story, too, actually.
Well, I'm still recovering from your story.
Well, the point is, prayer counts, prayer matters, and it changes things.
It really does. And that's why, I mean, it's we should talk about this as Christians. Mm-hmm. We should talk about praying and reading the Bible, praying that in. But I tell you what, when it says that our words have the power for life or death, this is one of the best ways that we can speak life into our spouse. And for me, when Aaron snuck this journal, and I wasn't able to do anything other than this journal and my Bible for 2 days, the thing, though, that really, she picked out a verse in 1 Corinthians 16:13, I'm have my Bible here, and if you were could see it, it's got my name written mm-hmm. next to this verse, and it says, "Be on guard." See, my name Gregory means watchman, so be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love.
Beautiful.
The thing that I was dealing with was feeling like a coward, and someday we'll have to talk about why that was. But when she put my name next to that verse, "Be men of courage," there was a transformation in my life as God was able to use that verse to really to call that out. And that was from my wife. Mm-hmm. And that's the power of words, life mm-hmm. or death. And that's why we got to get into this quick.
Yeah.
So we need to learn how we can do this for our spouse. And, you know, just like Aaron did for me, our guest today says that it's especially powerful to pray through God's word, the Bible, for your husband, because when you pray God's word back to him, you can be confident that they reflect God's will for our husband, for a spouse. And we're excited to have Kathy Lipp. She's a busy, busy conference speaker, a retreat speaker, who reaches thousands of wives each year. She's the author of 7 books, so she's probably got us beat. I can't keep track. Okay. It's always a competition,
it is,
right, Susie?
Yeah.
Okay, we just had to make that clear.
She's winning.
She's been a guest on several national radio programs, including Focus on the Family. She and her husband have 4 children, and they live in the beautiful state of California. Mm. So, Kathy,
welcome
to Everyday Relationships.
Greg and Susie, I am so thrilled to be here. I'm having so much fun listening to you guys, and I think we should have your spouses up here because obviously they're doing something right. That's for sure. It's been so fun to listen to.
Well, thanks. So what got you started sort of on this journey of praying scripture, you know, for your husband, Roger? Because you've got this great book, Praying God's Word for Your Husband. Where did this come from?
Well, and I'll be honest with you, prayer is not easy or natural for me. I'm a very extroverted, out there kind of person.
I never would have picked that up.
No.
At all. Wow.
Did not see that coming.
So wow. to settle down and pray is, I just tell you honestly, it's a struggle for me. And so Roger was, we were supposed to go on a trip together, and we got the phone call that every kid dreads, finding out his mom was in the hospital. And so we couldn't go on the trip together. He needed to head to Florida. I was heading to Oregon. I barely got a chance to kiss him on the way out the door. And I could tell by the time, you know, we were talking by email and phone and text, I could just feel his spirit sinking.
Oh, wow.
I could tell that he was overwhelmed. He was worried about me and the kids. He was worried about his mom. And this was all crashing down. And I thought, and because of the time difference, we were barely connecting. And when we did, I could tell he was just overwhelmed. Mm. And so I had a busy schedule to keep as well. And so I thought, what if I just pick one verse? If I just pick one verse and I'll pray that for him. Because I would love to say I was going to be able to sit down and have an hour-long quiet time. It never happened. I just needed to do this wherever I was. So what I did, I took Psalm 46:1, and it talks about how God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. And so I customized that for Roger. I said, God, I need you to be his refuge and his strength right now, because he is exhausted and he is feeling attacked on every side. So he really needed that refuge and he needed that strength. And that even though this is a time of trouble for him, that he feels your presence so fully. And so I took that scripture and I put it on a post-it note next to my coffee maker. And I put it in my rental car. And I put it everywhere so that I could constantly be praying for him. And you know what? He felt those prayers. He, even without me telling him I was praying for him, he said, I know you are praying for me. He goes, I felt such a marked difference. And it doesn't always work like that, but in that circumstance, I knew that my only hope of being able to support him was through prayer.
Like, when he said that he could feel those prayers, what did he mean? Like, did he just know it? Did he, was there something physically?
He said that his, he just felt like he felt God's presence,
okay,
which he wasn't feeling before. He said, honestly, I wasn't having my quiet time. I was just trying to get from moment to moment.
Well, it's a crisis.
Going to the hospital, still working, all this kind of stuff. And he said that he just felt peace. And he couldn't explain anything else, but he just felt peace. And he said, I'm assuming you're praying for me. He goes, if I'm wrong, okay. But I'm assuming you're praying for me, because I just feel, and he doesn't always feel it when I'm praying for him. It's not like he comes home and says, baby, I could tell you were praying for me at 10:45. It doesn't work like that for us. But he knows that when he is out in the world, that I am at home or on the road or wherever I am, backing him up in prayer. He knows that.
You know, and so often it takes the crisis to pray, like I was saying when I grabbed the horns of the, you know, I mean, I really was going for it because I was desperate because of how his Kev's job was affecting the family.
Yeah.
But you even talk about that we tend to, as wives, when we're not in crisis, to pray polite little prayers. But we can actually pray powerful prayers, you know, even I think that to avoid crises at times. So
absolutely.
Talk about the difference between a nice, polite prayer and something that just shakes and moves heaven and earth for the sake of our husbands.
Right. And, you know, I think that the hardest people to pray for change and for growth and for something, is for ourselves and our husbands.
Yeah.
Because we know ourselves.
We're
we know
too close.
Our
it's hard to pray for us. I know that.
Well, but you know, you think,
we're sorry.
Isn't it easier to pray for somebody else's husband? Because it's so much easier to believe for somebody else, but you know your own husband, you know what he's going to do. And, what, you know, and we don't. We need to know that our husbands are... we need to lay them at God's feet, because if we're praying these polite prayers, you know, small things can happen. But when we go before God boldly and we say, you know what, I completely trust you with him. I am not going to try to manipulate the situation. I'm not going to try to get my own outcome. God, I want him squarely at your feet, and I'm going to trust you with the outcome. That's a bold prayer. And for me, that's a scary prayer, I'll be honest with you. It's a bold and it's a scary prayer.
Is it, 'cause I'm fascinated. So it's, you're saying, yeah, it's hard. It's easier to pray for someone else's husband than for your own. Is it, why is that? Is it because we've wounded you? We've hurt you? Is it because busyness and routine, and you know that I would love for you to really get in and to help us understand that maybe when we get back from the break.
Absolutely. And I think maybe part of that is too, we're praying and then we're watching for change, and so we gotta, you know, it ain't working yet.
I get it. So yeah, you sneaky too.
Exactly.
I get it.
Yeah. We're so glad you tuned in today. This is Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson talking to Kathy Lipp today about her great book, Praying God's Word for Your Husband. When we come back, we're going to talk about how praying changes our husbands' lives, but how it changes our lives as well as women. And we're so excited to be here in Nashville. We've got lots to talk about. More with Kathy Lipp in just a moment.
Welcome back to Everyday Relationships from Focus on the Family. I'm Greg Smalley, along with Susie Larson. Today we are coming live from the Grand Ole Opry Hotel in Nashville, Tennessee. So if you can hear some background noise, we are live from the hotel. You know, we are here every day to have real conversations about relationships, whichever relationship that is for you, and then to really to discover real answers to help you to have great relationships. Today we're joined by Kathy Lipp, who's the author of Praying God's Word for Your Husband, to really talk about how do we speak life into our spouse using Scripture. And kind of before the break, I was talking about that I had an experience in Denmark to where my wife sent a journal along, which I've never done before in my life, and filled with Scripture that she had chosen for me specifically. And as I really went through that, God used that time as one of the most transformational moments of my life. And so I'm a huge fan of speaking, praying words, God's word into our spouse. And so Kathy, you know, before we went on the break, I'd asked, it sounds like this can be hard to do for a lot of women. I know this is hard for me to do as a husband, but why is that? Is it that we get stuck into routine and get busy, or is it maybe because we're hurt by our spouse, and of all the people, I don't want to pray for him. He just hurt me. Because we're capable, Susie, of doing bad things and stupid things, mm-hmm. and hurting our yeah. wives. Did you know that?
Yeah, that's another show.
Okay.
Next Wednesday on Every Day.
I wasn't sure if you knew that, though.
Well, I think part of it is that when we see other people, spouses, you know, that's distant. And we've seen God do big things in other people's lives. Perhaps we've seen it in our own lives. And so it's easy to believe God for those other situations. But when we're in it, when we're in the midst of it, sometimes it's really hard to pray believing that there can be any change. And so I know that I have done some really polite prayers on my husband's behalf before. But once I started praying Scripture, I realized, you know, God wrote this. Amen. This is God's word. I don't have to be timid. And I'm not responsible for the outcome. I'm just responsible to pray.
That's so
good. My holy work mm-hmm. on my husband's behalf. That's what I need to do. And sometimes my prayers aren't very eloquent. Sometimes I wonder if I'm praying for the right things. Am I praying selfishly? But I finally come to the point where I realize, you know what? God's a big God. And he can take my utterances and sort them out. And he's changing my heart as I pray. Yeah. All he asks as I do is show up and pray.
Yeah.
And that I can do.
I really love that, what you talked about, you know, that the outcomes are in God's hands. Because I think that might be another reason it's hard as women. Because we will pray and we'll look and we'll wait and we have an expected outcome. And then we get frustrated and we lose faith because we're a little impatient at times. Did you know that?
No.
Okay.
Wow. You just like blew my mind. I never knew that.
That's Thursday's show, right?
Oh, it is.
Anyway, but really, my mentor said the best thing to me. She said, Susie, she said, don't confuse the difference between expectation and expectancy. She said, expectation is predetermined disappointment. She said, we get this small idea of how God's supposed to move within this framework. And she said, you set yourself up to weaken your faith. But if you have expectancy, she said, you understand there's a mystery to following God. He gets to decide, but you don't ever lose hope that he's going to move. I'm going to pray, as you said. I'm going to trust his word. But then I'm going to leave the outcome up to him. And that's so good, isn't it?
It's so true. I love that. And here's the thing. When I look back at my life, if God had answered my prayers how I had wanted him to answer my prayer, I'd be
good
a hot
point.
Mess. I would be such a hot mess. And why do I think I have better input for my husband's life than I do for my own? And so
we wonder that same thing, speaking on behalf of husbands everywhere.
So I feel like the no fail solution is to pray with open hands and pray God's word.
Love that.
And we can trust him for the results.
Yeah, because you're talking about the results. You're talking, you use the word change. Mm-hmm. And so how would you encourage that wife, as you guys are talking about, who wants her husband to change certain things? What's the difference between praying for something that's going to benefit you versus them? Well, I don't know what that looks like.
I think part of it, at least for me, is when I started praying for Roger, I would pray that he would be able to have more bold. I mean, I would pray very specifically. And then I really got to the realization what I was praying for him was the same thing I was praying for me, and that my heart would become like God's heart. And as I grew closer to, you know, those ideas of I want what God wants, not just for me, but also for my husband, that's when I realized I'm not praying to change who Roger is. I'm praying for Roger to become all that God intended him to be.
I love it, because we've got the Holy Spirit as we pray who's speaking then on our behalf. So
exactly,
that's the confidence that we can always have.
Such a good show. Talking to Kathy Lipp today about her book, Praying God's Word for Your Husband. When we come back, we're going to talk about different scenarios and how we go after this, how we pray, how we trust God in it all. And really, the question you hear a lot, I'm sure, is how do I pray for my husband if I'm mad at him?
Right.
But you know what? Praying changes us in the process, too. Talking to Kathy Lipp, more on her book, Praying God's Word for Your Husband, after the break. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We're here with Kathy Lipp talking about her book, Praying God's Word for Your Husband. And Kathy, before the break, we were talking about, you know, you often hear this, and I've heard this as well, that women will say, oh, how do I pray for my husband if I don't even like him? How do you answer that?
And you know what? Sadly, I get that question a lot. And
my wife ask it?
You know, we're going to have a private consultation later. Yeah, we'll be
I want to be
deep
part
prayer.
Of that, too.
Well, and so I know one time I was speaking at an event, and I give out these silly little bookmarks because I really encourage fun and flirting with your husband. And these bookmarks say, my husband is a hottie. And I tell the women, don't use it as a bookmark.
I get that all the time.
I know. She cannot leave you alone. And so I say, don't use it as a bookmark. Put it up on his mirror. Put it in his truck. Put it someplace. He'll find it. And I was handing it to a woman, and she said, my husband doesn't deserve a bookmark.
Oh, wow.
He gained 25 pounds. He's been unemployed for 6 months.
Oh.
And I don't even want to look at him. And normally I'm very polite in these situations. I've learned how to, this time the politeness was out the door. I said, of all the times your husband needs that dumb little bookmark, it's today.
Good for you.
He needs it today because nobody feels worse about who he is than he does at this moment. And you have the power through your prayer and through how you behave towards him to change the way he walks through the world. Because when a man's wife believes in him, he can do anything.
Amen.
He can,
I agree.
He can do what God is calling him to do. So we need to be changing our behavior as well as our time with God.
Yeah. You know, Kathy, that's so good because we are Christians first and wives second. And to go back to Aaron's example, you know, here some of the verses she gave, Greg, were about rest. Well, you know what? A tired wife, when a husband's tired, the wife is tired.
Right.
So I feel like when you're in those places, it's like choose life or death. She could have said, you're overworked and you're killing me. But she's like, God wants to give you rest. And that's such a picture of a woman of God. And that is the call for us, isn't it?
And when we are aligned with God, when we are praying, when we're in prayer on a regular basis and God's heart becomes our heartbeat, we can have mercy on
that's
our husband.
So good. Mm-hmm.
And we need to be in that place where we can show him God's love when he's not feeling it.
Yeah. I remember there were a couple of weeks ago that I was real nervous about something that was going on at work. And so I was kind of a little hurried, frazzled as I was leaving the house. And my wife just kind of grabbed a hold of me and just kind of stood me still and looked into my eyes, just, you know, captured my attention and said, you can do this.
Mm.
And it was, when I'm telling you, when you guys are saying that this has a powerful effect, let me tell you, as a husband, there is no words more powerful than when my wife believes in me, when she encourages me, when she prays for me, when she speaks scripture into me. That's why I love Hebrews 3:13, that we are to encourage one another daily. And what I love, Kathy, about your book is that's using scripture. I mean, that's just a great practical way. So, Kathy, for the wife that's going, I love this, I don't really do it much or often, don't know really how, what would you encourage them to do? How can they start to do this?
Well, I think first by understanding God wants to answer your prayers. God wants to be the God who answers your prayer.
And so you can have hope in that.
Exactly. You know, I remember when I was in junior high and we learned God's phone number. You know, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not.
I didn't know he had a phone number.
Yeah, that's how they taught it to us.
He was
would have nice to have known that here for 45 years, but never mind, whatever.
As a child, I remember having full faith that God would answer my prayers. And I think as I grew up, it became easier to believe that maybe God wasn't listening quite as much to me because I knew me and I knew what I had done. I knew the sin in my past. Yeah. I knew who I, you know, all of that. And so to be able to say, you know what, God delights in hearing his children's prayers. And so starting off small, and you know, we've taken these 14 different areas of a man's life. And so when I know that Roger is really struggling, I will dive into one of those areas. When he's overwhelmed, when he has work issues, parenting, all of these different things. And I will look through the scripture and just say, this is the one that Roger needs right now.
Like how do you know that? Because I'm just, as a guy, we like to get into our cave and we don't always communicate well. What are you noticing? What would be some signs that you need to start praying one of these?
Well, I really believe that our husbands constantly need prayer for their work. Because I don't know what Roger's job is, but I know nobody at work is saying, wow, you rocked my world today, Roger. You know, you've done such a great job on that spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Nobody's saying that to him. If he's going to get...
It is a spreadsheet, though. Yeah. That's a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. And so if he's going to get any encouragement, it's going to be from me and the Holy Spirit. I really believe
that. That's your right. That's your privilege.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's no one else in this whole world
right,
who sits in that chair of being his wife.
And nobody should be calling him hottie either.
No, that's true.
I mean, really,
that's
you're the girl.
I tried one time.
Yeah.
He didn't like
absolutely.
Right.
But how have you changed, and how has your marriage changed? We just have a couple minutes here, but I'd love to know the impact, the ripple effect on you as a woman and you as a couple.
I have grown in my brave part. The brave part of me has
bold.
Grown.
You seem bold.
Yeah,
definitely.
And I, a few years ago, I wouldn't say that I was, but I think since I started praying this way, I pray crazy prayers on behalf of my husband and on behalf of our marriage. And I'm excited about the man I get to be married to every day. And the boldest prayer I think I ever prayed is, God, break my heart for my husband. You know, let me be the one who is praying for his deepest needs and accept him however he is. But God, I want my heart to reflect your heart for him. And then also, you know, sometimes God's plans for Roger are not very convenient for me. And I need to say, God, I want to be his helpmate. I want to be his support. That's my deepest desire. But I don't always like how it looks because it's not fun. And so God, let me be in a place where my heart is just thirsting after what you want for Roger.
I wish people could be here to see her.
I know.
The tears that are streaming down. I mean, see that's passion.
Beautiful.
That's the power of prayer. It's the power of speaking life into someone using scripture. I don't think there's anything more powerful than that.
Definitely not. And again, I'm watching her and listening to her. I'm thinking again, a godly wife is more precious than gold. And that really is our call, isn't it? Our privilege in Christ.
Absolutely.
Jesus. So, so good. Boy, this is Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson, having a fabulous conversation with Kathy Lipp, author of the book Praying God's Word for Your Husband. When we come back for the wrap, Kathy and Greg will just talk about some tangible takeaways, maybe just startup prayers that people who this is a foreign concept to, ways that they can right now apply their prayers to their husband and change their lives in the process. So good conversation. More with Kathy Lipp in just a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in today to Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We're here in Nashville, Tennessee, talking to Kathy Lipp about her book, Praying God's Word for Your Husband. And during the break, Kathy, I was thinking, you know, recently I wrote a bulleted list of all the ways our lives have changed because of prayer. And I really did come into the marriage as a tenacious prayer, but it really changed our life so much. My husband is now a tenacious prayer, and he prays just like that as well. So not only have we seen outcomes, we've been so changed in the process. And that's what I hear you saying. So maybe say a word to the person who's like, this seems overwhelming. Start small. Give me some first steps.
Well, let me just go over a couple things. One, 30-second prayers. I think that we have been brainwashed to believe that if we're going to pray, we need to sit down first thing at the crack of dawn and be there for hours. And I think God wants a conversation with us throughout the day. So as things come up, you know, if you need to dive into your Bible and pick a scripture and start praying that and put your husband's name in it, that's easy to do. The other thing I think is get some other women around you to hold you accountable and to say, we're going to go on this prayer journey together.
Yeah, don't do it alone.
Don't do it alone. Yeah. Do not be married alone. Make sure that you have a gang of women who can support you and encourage you, because sometimes, let's just be honest, this prayer thing can be frustrating when we don't feel like there's any change. We don't feel like God is listening. And when we have other women who are encouraging us and just speaking to our hearts, it can be a very, very powerful thing. And then finally, my last little thing is post-it notes. Put post-it notes everywhere with scripture. Put them in your laundry room. Put them in your car. Put them wherever you're going to be so that you can constantly be reminded to be praying, not just for your husband, but for yourself as well.
What's been one of the greatest benefits that you've seen of how this impacts your marriage by doing this?
My husband walks through the world differently because he knows that I'm praying for him. He knows that he is not at work alone. He knows that he is not parenting alone. And it's not because of me. It's because I pray that God goes before him and behind him, to his left and to his right. I want Roger to feel the presence of God wherever he goes. And I'm not always perfect in this. I fall down, but I get up again because I've seen the impact it's had on Roger's life. It's been transformative.
Yeah, I think that's what came to my mind, is that the two shall become one. Is that this is such a great and practical way to walk out that oneness. There's a lot of things that we need to do, but it seems like that prayer, using God's word, those two in tandem, has had such a powerful effect. And again, just Kathy watching you talk about this, I mean, there's a real legitimate passion in your eyes and in your emotion. And you know what, for me, what I'm taking away is that the marker of success, I don't think, is the outcome. I hear you saying it's the fact that with our dedication that we are praying, and what it does to me, what it does to our relationship, to me, that's the true measure of success, is the obedience in praying God's word.
And you're changed in the process. Kathy, thank you for your time today. It's been a great conversation.
Thanks for letting me talk about something I love so much.
Oh, we've loved it. Well, you've been listening to Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be talking to Greg's friends, BJ and Marilyn Kirby. BJ's a military man. We're going to talk about how you keep your marriage intact while one spouse is on the road. That'll be a great conversation.
He's a Navy SEAL.
Sorry. He's still
how
a military
to do marriage.
Man. Oh, my goodness. Well, meet us back here tomorrow. God bless you.